And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Plus minus.
Curry, way downtown. Bang! Bang! Oh, what a shot from Curry!
Tim Kawakami deserves all the credit there.
Plus minus.
Curry driving again.
Tell Marcus that he asked that question about my defense. You hear that, Marcus?
Anthony, you know me well, buddy. Y'all have a great night.
I think he got the highest plus minus in the season in NBA history.
Hello and welcome to a Warriors Plus Minus podcast. Marcus Thompson in the building. He had to show up because this is a
massive game.
A rejuvenation of the rivalry.
Oh, man, a bounce back game.
Yeah, they played the Grizzlies. Remember, these used to be big. It was on ESPN over Suns Sixers.
So, little insight. I can't believe I'm telling. People this because I'm like the butt of the joke on this. But so Looney is always on me, right? Mm-hmm. Looney calls me TV Thompson because he says I only show up for TV games, and it's like, you know,
fair point.
It's not a fair point. That's what I'm like. So what he's saying, like. He doesn't see me on the road, so he's like, you know, where are you in the dredges of like a DC road trip? Like, yeah, that's not my job. But so that's his little running joke. He's like, oh, you here
you
for
think
the
bigger? Mr. 240 whatever straight games is gonna hear you be like, oh, it's not my job.
Yeah, he don't want to hear that. He just like, oh. So I'm like, what? I go up to him, I'm like, what? I'm here for y'all against Memphis, right? This ain't a big game. This is like, ESPN. He was like, ESPN, it's a TV game. I'm like, it's a TV game. He's like, yeah, TV Thompson, you knew it. He's like, you probably wasn't going to come. And then you saw it was on ESPN, and then you came. I was like, nah, I wasn't going to come. And then I came because it was Gigi and them, and I knew y'all was going by 30, but I came anyway.
Pacers on Friday, not a TV game. You going
to
show up?
Yeah, that's what I was trying. I was like, yeah, do I want to go to the Memphis game? I'm going to go to the Pacers game, but I ended up coming anyway. But it's actually more massive than I thought it was because I thought this was a nothing game, but he reminded me it was on ESPN.
Yeah, 137-116. I don't know. It was a useful win. It was a needed win. I wouldn't categorize it as a good win.
I don't know, man. This was major. Did you hear, like, the pomp and circumstance from this win? Like, this was big, yo.
There was some hyping in the post-game press conferences that I was like, this feels a little over the top. You know, Wiggins had a good night. He was 9 of 14, 22 points, 10 rebounds. That's a pretty big number for Andrew Wiggins. Four threes. But there was some talk like, oh, it's been really good the last couple months. It's like, he's been in and out. He's like, his first 6 weeks, however long it was of the season, was really down. He stabilized for parts of the year, but I wouldn't quite, you know, put his last 2 months as normal Andrew Wiggins. Kuminga was great. 12 of 17 downhill, 26 points. You know, Clay at 5 threes. Chris Paul has the 14 assists or a zero turnover game. But they played the Memphis Hustle.
I mean, basically, right? We also have Oakland and Ringer legend Logan Murdoch in the building.
I didn't know if he wanted to even be identified.
Dang, I probably should have asked that, huh?
Marcus, I had a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Who are the five best rappers of all time? Dylon.
John Blaze.
Word. Dylon.
John Blaze.
Dylon.
Mad Rapper.
Dylon.
Same dude.
Dylon, and Dylon. You got any questions for me?
We're being hijacked. Yeah, sure. You were asking Kuminga questions tonight. Give me your Kuminga thoughts. 12 of 17. A lot of dunks tonight. How many dunks did he have?
He had all of the dunks. I think the thing with Kuminga is he's finally getting to a place where, like, Steve Kerr fully trusts him, which is a weird thing to say. But
I'm not sure I'd go fully. I want to see the playoffs. Yeah, I want to see him close, like, with him
I think
I'm not sure we will see a playoff series.
I think that he's like at 85% now, where he was probably like 40 to 20% last year in the postseason. I mean, like he kind of has to play.
You could almost say zero in the postseason because he was playing JaMychal Green over him at points.
Wow. That was crazy.
I mean, he was.
He was. And that, I mean, that was a point of contention in the locker room last year, right? That Kuminga didn't feel like he was getting the minutes that he earned when Wiggins was out all that time.
By the way, what you mean last year? This year, too.
This year as well. I apologize. I don't even know how much I can be on this one, but I'm just going to say that Dylon is the best rapper of all time.
Clearly, you wanted to get that take.
Hey, listen to Real Ones on Spotify and Ringer. RealOnesMailbag.com.
Real Ones with who?
With Roger Bell. RealOnesMailbag@gmail.com. Bye.
The worst decision I made was placing us here in this open area for the podcast tonight, allowing it to be hijacked. That one I will. The beginning I won't. You take it from here.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. I'm just not that impressed. Like, I'm not that impressed. You know, here's what was impressive about it. Memphis was, like, literally on fire.
Santi Aldama
got a little heated, got shoved by Draymond a little bit, and went full, you know, like, heel and just made, you know, every three. He hit six of them in the first half. And after the little skirmish in which, you know, Taylor Jenkins was stampeded by a herd of
Thought I was watching a scene of Lion King.
It was crazy, yeah. So that, like, they were getting cooked and they woke up. So it was fairly impressive. I mean, it all felt like wasn't that real? Like this is not gonna keep this up, right? They're incredibly hot. This is not gonna keep it up, But, you know, we've seen the Warriors blow a game like that. So, the fact that they handled business and like, managed it, it's just not really that impressive to me. I'm not looking at this like, ooh, look at all that happened. To me, it's probably a little bit more, like, problematic that everybody's playing well against Memphis when you get one or two more guys to play well against the Knicks, you got to win. Well, like, if you get this Wiggins against the Knicks, do they win?
Maybe. Kuminga was particularly good tonight. And again, I know it was a bad team, but like, you know, it was like, oh, star wing punishes bad defensive team sprinting past them for like several transition dunks.
There was one play where, you know, like G.G. Jackson is a good athlete, right? He's got long wingspan. He's tall.
Not particularly attentive on the defense.
Absolutely. But there was like a play where I think it was like, Kuminga got to the ball first, or maybe it was a pass, and there was like a moment where he had the chance to get in front of Kuminga, stop the break. And it was probably the most impressive play of the night to me. I mean, like, you blinked and Kuminga was two steps ahead of him. I mean, he just got around him and it was like he had another gear. And to me, Kuminga's like next step, and it's probably more handles than it is athleticism, but he's got to be able to do that against athletes, right? Like, he can do it if he's got the mismatch advantage. You want to see him, you know, be the Warriors' best athlete against other good athletes. Like, take some of these other guys off the dribble. And so to see him blow by GG like that was like, that was crazy.
I've been trying to eat in more often lately, so I signed up for Home Chef. I've had a few packages come in, and being able to feast on a delicious meal without the long prep and cook times is what drew me to Home Chef over all the other guys. Home Chef's meals are effortless, even for someone like me who isn't making it onto Top Chef anytime soon. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. Home Chef has over 30 options a week and serves a variety of dietary needs, so you don't have to worry about what you're making ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, but it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. For a limited time, Home Chef is offering my listeners 18 free meals, plus free shipping on your first box and free dessert for life at homechef.com/plus. That's homechef.com/plus for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. Homechef.com/plus. Must be an active subscriber to receive the free dessert.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Well, that's him using his tools with energy, you know, adding like frenetic pace, you know, a kind of a frantic nature to his transition tonight, where it was like, you know, sometimes you see it for stretch, like Warriors are down 12 in the second half of a game they feel like they need to win, and like they'll start pressing and Gary Payton's out there, and then suddenly like they're really trying to get it into an up-tempo game. That was coming at a time of the game that's not usually up-tempo, that he was just doing it. He looked like he was like frantically trying to bring the Warriors back from a second half deficit, even though that's not what the game was. And like that's when he can just overwhelm. Like, he was overwhelming today for Memphis. So, yeah, I mean, look, he was best player. Steve Kerr said he thought it might be his best game.
See, that's where I was.
That's
like,
where, yeah, yes, like, no, right?
No, sorry. And he might have been, he was really efficient, right? He was really authoritative with his command. But, like, no, he's had better games against better teams and bigger moments.
Well, that's the big thing. Yeah, like, you know.
I'm not that impressed, Kuminga. I've seen better from you. I'm just saying that.
Okay, Chris Paul, 14 assists, 0 turnovers.
Says about this drama of Draymond, right? Like, it was the most exciting thing that happened outside of Omri Caspi's descendant. Santi, that's who Santi Aldama reminded me of. Omri Caspi, who got caught fire here one time as a member of the Sacramento Kings and had like a duel with Steph back and forth.
You did not catch fire as a member of the Golden State Warriors.
So I was thinking, I almost tweeted it, but I didn't. I almost tweeted it like, this probably means Santi Aldama will be signed by the Warriors and never look like this. But that's unfair to just say he'll be Omri Caspi. I think the turning point of the game was the Draymond situation. And these things are important because we know Draymond is on thin ice, right? Yes. And every situation is a matter of, is he going to do enough or something that forces the proverbial hand of Joe Dumars?
That we're going to be, I'm going to spend tomorrow like texting people in the league, like, you know, what's the decision on Draymond? Yeah. What did you think of this?
Yeah. And in this night, it felt like, even though the ideal thing would be for him to never be involved in anything like this, but Santi Aldama gives a little elbow. He gives it back. There's a little shoving thing. And then he's just standing there with Desmond Bane. I don't even think him and Desmond Bane, like...
No, they were, like, continually after that went to be like, hey, we're good.
Yeah,
we're good.
But...
It's kind of weird how your coach was just, like, you know, moaning on the ground for 10 minutes. But how are you?
It was so wild. It was so wild. But, you know, he didn't do anything. Like, the summation of it is, it got heated. It got testy. And Draymond didn't do anything, right? Like, that's probably the news of the game. Like, he didn't exacerbate
it. It was a subdued version of what you're talking about was the Nurkic game here, remember? Because, like, all you were thinking during the Nurkic back and forth was, like, who if he crosses the line? Who? Yeah, especially with Nurkic, right? Yeah, and that was old. There was a lot more to that one. Tonight, it was like... The only time I thought of, like, oh, did something just happen down there was when Jenkins does fall. You're wondering, like, Draymond, like, swing an elbow on accident? Like, you know, it was tough to see.
Like, Rick Celebrini was trying to make sure Draymond
did. Yeah, and they got him out of there quick. But then you kind of saw what happened. You're like, oh, Draymond was, you know, it was very clear. Like, even the double T was like, I'm not even sure you needed that. So, I don't know. I mean, just say post-game there were some people kind of eye-rolling about Taylor Jenkins. You know, involvement.
It was a very popular talking point of, did you see Taylor Jenkins? What is he doing? And the part that seemed to get people was his very regular walk off at halftime. Like,
yeah.
He didn't. The best line of the night came from Warriors World, though. Did you see it? Yeah, it was a tweet out about, oh, Taylor Jenkins is down, he got hurt, whatever.
I'm not as locked into Twitter as I used to be. I just don't
That's good by you, by the way. But Warriors World posted Jordan Poole must have got him, which is a very clever retort based on the 2022 playoffs when Taylor Jenkins blamed Jordan Poole.
That is the part of this situation that did, like, you know, the context that matters, right, is like the Taylor Jenkins performance in that second round series that included the Jordan Poole. The hand on the knee, didn't they have like a term for it they used?
Didn't he say, Steve Kerr said Dylan Brooks had broke the code. And then they said Poole broke the code when he yanked, John Morant's meniscus or whatever it was.
I remember the term hot stove contact coming back into play at the time, which was a Steph Curry Minnesota one back in the day. But yeah, anyways. Chris Paul, 14 assists, 0 turnovers. He's been playing well.
He looks really good. It was one of those things that kind of popped when he came back into the lineup, you know. Like, he looks faster. I mean, the bigger thing is his shot is back. Like, his elevation on the mid-range is, you know, it looks good. Like, he's going up. It feels like it's good. I do think a lot of how he's been is the same. Like, he's still making the same passes. He's still, like, the good floor general. But the shot, and looking at him now and remembering him then, you could tell he wasn't, you know, like, I don't know. Maybe he's saying it was, like, he knows what he's doing now. He was trying to fit in. There is, like, a half a step more to him now. You know, I'm not saying he was, like, out of shape or anything. But now he looks very decisive. He looks quick. He's getting good lift on his mid-range. And I wonder, I asked him about, was it the time off? And he said, yeah, the time off really helped him.
Yeah, and there's a few other things. The jumper was just, like, abnormally cold to start the season. That's not the case right now. Also, Trayce Jackson-Davis has exploded onto the scene, and he's given Chris Paul a lob threat. And while Chris Paul worked nicely with Dario Saric as, like, a pick and pop,
yeah.
Kind of like a crafty pick and roll guy who he would get on the dive, but then, you know, it's Sarge catch, look around as he sprays to the corner, whatever. Like, you know, traditionally Chris Paul would prefer the guy he can throw it up to.
Yeah,
the DeAndre Jordan role from the Clippers days.
Pick and pop doesn't open up Chris Paul's mid range, right? Like, if he turns that down, and Chris Paul's got to go work, there's nothing in the back.
And then the other thing that's going on is he's playing a lot with Klay Thompson. Yeah. Klay Thompson coming off the bench. Klay Thompson's hot right now. You know, he hit 5 more threes tonight. And he mentioned him, Chris Paul, like, he loved to use, oh, Clay's hit 2 threes, 2 defenders are going to fly out on him. I know that. Boom, I'm hitting Trayce Jackson-Davis on a slip, Jonathan Kuminga on a slip, whatever. So I just think the environment around him, the lineup that he's with, makes more sense. It lets him have 14 assists or turnover games, although he was kind of doing that in the first stretch of the season. I remember he had, like, 65 assists and 6 turnovers.
To me, the only thing different is, like, his jumper's falling.
And Trayce, like, just giving him a lot.
And I don't know. It could be thine eyes, but it just feels like he came back like, all right, and he was in it. It wasn't like I'm rusty or anything like that. He was just ready to go. He's pushing it. He's in the mix. He's got, you know, that fading mid range was not falling, and now it's like
he even bristled a little at the idea that his time was up in the post game. That might have been the best part of post game.
And he was not happy about his former AAU pupil, Gigi Jackson, cooking him for 35.
I kind of think he was happy about that, especially in the blowout win, because then he could let the world know, like, I coached that guy, and, you know, he hit
he was
a 3, happy. And he calls me coach. And
he's like, oh, I'm going to have to hear about this.
Because he wasn't asked about Gigi Jackson. Shit, volunteered that information. Is there what other things right now about this team? I have one topic I want to get into, but I want you to pick first.
I think the Brandon Pajimski play is a little bit concerning.
You know, that wasn't the topic I was going to go to, but that is a good idea. 1 of 6 shooting, 2 points tonight. He was 0 of 2 and scoreless in the last game. You know, he gets his 5 rebounds, he gets his 4 assists, 2 steals. He's still doing a lot of stuff, but there was, like, when he was in his, like, kind of felt like breakout mid-season stretch,
That would come along with like 15 points. Yeah, ooh, where'd that come from? 12 points, 14 points.
And when he's feeling it, he can get you 20, right? Yeah, absolutely. He's not really getting to the line. He looks frustrated out there, right? He looks frustrated. And that wasn't how he played. And Steve made it very clear, like, this is the start lineup, and he likes the second unit. And as much as it probably makes sense to put Clay in there, he just likes the way Clay's playing off the bench. I don't know. I probably wouldn't move Clay either. I don't know. I probably wouldn't.
Yeah, because I think with the Clay thing, I mean, you mentioned it. It's I think wanting Clay in the familiar role that, like, you know, probably is with the thought of beyond this season. Yeah. Like, if Clay's coming back next season in negotiations this summer, I do think that there's a desire to, like, part of the equation is Clay kind of knowing what you are next year.
So I think tonight was probably one of those, this is how it should be. Not 30 minutes for Podziemski, but a solid 22. If he's playing well, 26.
Well, yeah, right. What if he doesn't get elbowed and have to leave the game? Yeah, he might have played 30.
He might have played. But I do think it's worth it to give Moody some of those looks, to even give Chris Paul some of those minutes. I'm not saying don't start him. I'm just saying, like, Steve's got to guarantee him
29 to 30.
And like, be careful how you put him out there, because he's struggling right now. And that's how they get in these ruts. That's how they lose to the Knicks. They start the first 6 minutes of the game, and they need him to get buckets. He's speeding up the court. He's doing all that stuff, but it's not converting like he did earlier in the year. And, you know, eventually he'll probably get it back. But right now he's just struggling offensively to score. And it didn't factor at all tonight. It didn't matter at all. But it didn't matter against the Knicks. It could matter against the Pacers. Who's the backup point guard for the Pacers?
Andrew Nemhard.
And TJ.
TJ McConnell. Yeah, Nemhard's probably starting at this point with Mathurin out.
Yeah, so
I think those
minutes are going to be – like, those pods minutes are going to be key, and they kind of need him to score. So maybe you put, Kuminga in there or something. Like, something, instead of saying, we know we got open threes from Podziemski. It's not as bad as the Sarge thing. Remember at some point it was like, yo, you got to get Sarge out of the lineup. And Steve was like, well, if we just get him going, he's not to that level. But I do think he needs a quicker hook when he's not rolling. Get some other guys in there, because he's just struggling.
Yeah. The other difference between him and Sarge is, like, you know, he's just turned 21. They're invested in him long term. They believe they've hit on the pick. They did. Yeah. I mean, like, he's fringe all rookie first team. They need to continue getting him on this growth path. I think they don't even bigger picture mind him facing a few struggles, facing a little adversity, having to work through some stuff, having to figure out which parts of his game should be there, which shouldn't be, you know, like the hook shot he's tried. He's not really trying that as much, you know, sharpening parts of his game. That's part of what still matters the rest of the season. Because I think if me and you take a step back, you're like, this team isn't really theoretically going anywhere of substance.
Did you see what just happened tonight?
They're back.
West finals. I do think you're right. I also think because he played so well, because of how he plays, his game feels so mature. Can't forget, he is a rookie. He does press. He does get frustrated. He does want to go out there and make shots. And it might not be the best thing for him in that development to just be like, oh, pause is fine. Like, yeah, nah. That's not how it works. Like,
most confident dude about himself tonight, I was like in some random conversation with him, and I asked him, like, are you going to start a podcast? And he's like, no, I'm still a rookie. I need a few years to, like, gain some knowledge before I start a podcast. And I was like, yeah, you know, he at times, to an annoying degree, I think, to some of his teammates, carries himself like, hey, like, I am a six-year pro, which is what makes him good in a lot of ways. But I even think there's just some acknowledgement from him, like, you know, like, and probably to the outside world, like, this is year one of a marathon.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So it's like, all right, we're going to take your time, be patient. You're going to give Moody some minutes. You're still in the rotation, not a rotation, but when he's not going, like, he's going to press. It's going to hurt when he gets to open three and you really need it. Like, all right, to me, that like just saying 30 minutes out there, it's a lot of pressure on him, especially for a team that's like fighting for his play-in life, like, which is a wild thought.
I think the games feel bigger. The results feel bigger than they actually are if you really think about it. In my opinion, like, this is just going to be a 9-10 against the Lakers. There's what is still to be decided is where the game's going to be. Sure, there's an outside shot. They leap to 8, but, you know, you look tonight, Kings blow out the Raptors, Suns blow out the Sixers. It's going to be determined
the next three games. You got Pacers, Heat, Magic.
But it's not even, like...
I mean, you win those three.
Well, and it's Timberwolves, by the way.
Timberwolves, yeah. Oh, I forgot about the Timberwolves. Pacers, at Minnesota. Timberwolves.
Magic Heat, back-to-back.
Yeah, those four games. Like, I mean, you win those four games, that'll... Like I'm saying, we're talking about 8. Can you get to 8, right? Like,
yeah, but okay, they win those four games, like maybe, but you know, you're gonna need the Suns to lose a few in there, or the Kings, and the Kings are about to play Washington tomorrow. Like, a lot of wins are ahead of them, you know, the teams ahead of them. So maybe I've proven wrong, but like, part of me thinks like they could float through this last stretch, and or they could play really well, or like not play that well. I kind of don't think I think the only thing that's changing is the location of the play-in game against the Lakers. I think that is what's remaining on the line.
I think 8's still on the table. And it's less about...
You might end up being right.
I think the other team, like, as the Kings blew out the Raptors tonight, they'll beat the Wizards, but they'll lose the games. That's what they're
going to happen. But you know who else is going to lose?
Who's going to lose? I'm just saying, like...
Are you on the 10 in a row?
Yes, yes. Steve said they could win 10 in a row. You're good. Yeah.
This post game tonight hyped you up.
I was chilling. I didn't think it mattered, but everybody was hyped. I'm like, what am I missing here? Like, we were sitting here like, hey, why is everybody like they're back?
So I'm writing about Draymond at center because, you know, like they've really leaned into it this year, obviously. And of late, you know, he's popped up on the injury report a couple times with his back soreness. Missed a game in Dallas, and even revealed on his podcast that not only had it been bothering him for a while, but, you know, just the at least faint concern in the back of his mind that this could be tied to what forced him to miss a half season and really scared, you know, it was the scariest injury of his career.
Remember, he thought it was a calf situation at first, right? Yeah, same.
So, you know... How overly taxing is the amount of minutes they're putting on him at center? Both Chris Paul and Draymond said it. You know, Draymond's point tonight was what makes it more taxing is fives are always crashing the glass. When he plays four, a lot of times the fours aren't. But he said he estimated 20 more times per game, basically, a huge center is coming down at him and he has to stick his body in there and hit him. Yeah. And, you know, and I made the point to him, like, well, that would be particularly cumbersome on your lower back, right? I mean, the part that you're having issues. He kind of seemed to indicate he didn't think, like, you know, boxing a guy out and the injury he's currently dealing with correlate. But he did say it's a more physically taxing thing, especially at this stage of his career. That's something they need to watch. But the problem on the flip side is, like, They're him at the four lineups are like it's what they've gone away from this year for a reason, right? Him and Looney with two non-shooters hasn't worked. And, you know, him and Trace Jackson, they peppered it in lately. Steve Kerr said they've wanted to go to it a bit more. And, like, as you look to the future, yeah, you know, Trace looks like a potential starting center. But then you're sitting there going Kuminga at the three, Draymond at the four, Trace at the five. That's three guys who defenses are not fearful of their three. Can you do that in 2024? So I, you know, it's kind of a long-winded way I'm like, the subject's interesting to me because, like, Draymond signed for three more seasons. Trace is going to be around for four more on the cheap. Kuminga's, you know, extension eligible this summer. His future seems locked in. Those are your three front court guys, but, like, can you play them together?
Yeah, I don't think that's the plan to play them together. The plan is they got to go get a big. Even Trace is not a big. Like, he's a power forward who can jump high. Like,
I mean, he's a center. He's an NBA center.
But he's not a big. Like, I mean, was he 6'9"? Like, he looks small against Nurkic.
Okay. Well, guess what? Dario Saric is taller than Trayce Jackson-Davis. Who's more of a center?
I don't know.
You should know.
I'm saying he's playing the center position. But if you're going to tell him, all right, you go up. Like, he's your starting center. He's getting every big. Like, he's going up against Rudy. He's going up against Jokic. He's going up against Embiid. Like, that's his, like,
I don't think he's that kind of big.
Well, can I just ask, like, oh, they're going to go get a center this summer? It's like, you know, what they've tried to do, they need a shooting big.
Yeah, shooting big.
Next to Draymond. But they, you know, Dario Saric was the shooting big they tried to get this summer. I thought it was a good signing. Hasn't really worked out. JaMychal Green was supposed to be at the previous season.
Yeah, I mean, those are minimum guys. You might have to do something, right? Like,
well, yeah, they tried to get Kelly Olynyk. They tried to get the deadline. So it's clearly on their minds, right? We've talked about this in the past. James Wiseman was who it was supposed to be.
If they have to go with this, they're going to have the same problem. They're going to have the same problem. Yeah. Like, that's – or Trace needs to get out there this summer and work on that. Yeah, work on that jumper, baby. You got it? Nah, it ain't happening. So, yeah, to me, that's the solution. Look, people – like, obviously, Draymond has earned a lot of criticism. He gets criticized a lot, and people – you know, many people have wanted him to go. I want him off my team. He's exhausted. He's tired of all that. This is the part Draymond does, right? He will be your center as a 6'7" power forward.
6'7" is a stretch.
With shoes and he'll do it like well. That's the thing. Like,
well, tonight it'll probably be the headline of what I'm writing. But he says, "Yes, it's sustainable. I can do it."
Yeah,
and it's like, do you like? He's going to say that, but. I'm asking, like, do you think
Steve
it is?
Didn't think so for years. Remember, he wouldn't play him at center. Like, he's like, I don't want to wear Draymond down. Yeah, like, they'll do the death lineup thing at the end of games, but not starting games, not finishing games. I do think Trace helps him. Like Chris Paul said tonight, the fact that you can go to Trace and play him, like Draymond played 25 minutes, right? You keep him 25, 26. He used to play 30-plus, and it was about how many of those are going to be at center, and Steve wanted to limit that. Now, if he's playing all center, you got to keep it down. You can't play him 30-plus minutes. The real question is, like, he's saying it's sustainable. The question is not whether it's sustainable. The question is, will he have anything left in the playoffs if they do make it to the playoffs?
But that's the sustainability question, because physically, can he sustain it at a high level?
He may not be hurt, right? He may play. But is he going to be good?
Well, yeah. This last week is a great example where,
like, he wasn't
he
good.
Didn't play in Dallas. Partly because he's like, basically he said his body needed a reset. He got like 4 days off. Then he played in L.A. and he was great in that L.A. game. He was everywhere for 30 minutes. It was like one of his highest minute totals of the season. And it was like, oh, yeah, you know, he looked fresh for that. But then against the Knicks, he had maybe his worst game of the season. 1-7. He was, you know, a bunch of turnovers, just wasn't impactful. Hartenstein was kind of giving them issues. And then he's on the injury report with lower back soreness. And then he reveals he spent 3.5 hours at the facility this morning with Rick Celebrini doing, like, activation and stretching and this and that. And it's like that is the question of, is it sustainable? Because I agree with you. I'm not saying he's like, oh, they're just going to announce him out for the season.
I think when he says sustainable, he's saying, yeah, I can play. I'll be there.
Yeah. Right? And because, you know, again, he's not going to go up on the podium and be like, no, it's like, I can't do this. We need to stop.
Yeah, you play. I mean, think about the path. If they get the Lakers in the first round, you got to deal with Anthony Davis, right? And then you're playing the loser, right, of the second round series. It could be Sabonis, right? Like, you could be dealing with a Bruiser and Sabonis. And
okay, but let's say it's Dallas, you got Gafford and Lively.
Either way, right? Yeah, because Lively's a problem. And then
Phoenix, you get Nurkic, you might want Nurkic.
And then, yeah, exactly. Then you survive that, right? If you survive all of that, your first round might be to Jokic. So it's like, yeah, you might be on the court, but is he going to be effective? Because they need him to be great. Like, and that's, to me, why Draymond is so valuable. Because, I mean, how many times over the course of your covering the NBA, you've heard a guy say, I don't want to play five?
I mean, that's the Anthony Davis corollary. That's Wembanyama in his first year.
Yeah, I don't really want to play five, you know. So, like, he's going to do it, and he's going to probably die out there.
Spend 4 hours a morning with Rick Celebrini in the lab. All right. You good?
I'm great. Our special guest is.
I won't even reveal who our special guest was supposed to be.
You said we tried to get a special guest and ended up getting other guests.
My fault. All right, we'll talk to you later.